Welcome back to another episode of Natural Thoughts and Talks. I'm Venture.
This is Hannah.
And we got a great episode for you guys today. Go ahead and tell the listener your name and where you're from.
What's going on, everybody? I'm Darius Marquise Johnson. A lot of people know me as Hilarious Darius, hailing from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And now somehow I'm out in Los Angeles.
Yeah, okay, East Coast guy. I didn't know that. Nobody told that. That's cool. Philadelphia. When did you move out here?
3 years ago. Okay. Four years ago.
Oh, you're catching your groove then nicely, huh? Nice and settled in.
Do you love it?
Oh, I love it. I want to, I've traveled around for the past few years, a lot. I was in Savannah, Georgia. I was in D.C. Obviously, that all started from Philly, and the Pennsylvania area, I was traveling a lot. So, this is the first time I'm really sitting down, and I've been somewhere for, 4 years is, the longest since, growing up in Philly.
Mm-hmm. So, is your family all still back on the East Coast?
Yeah.
How many siblings do you got?
I have 4 siblings. Yeah, I have an older brother and then 3 sisters.
Mm. Okay, so you're second in command then.
Oh, no, I was the baby.
Oh. Are you the baby?
I was. And then my little sister came and she took the throne.
Mm. Oh, that makes sense. That's where all that artisticness came from, huh? Just being the young guy, being the clown of the family, huh?
Trying to claim your spot and, look at me, or I can do, because they were already at a point where they were doing, when I was young, I felt like my siblings were kind of finding what they like to do and they were good at it. Mm-hmm. And I was just trying to do everything that they were doing and not really as good.
Yeah.
Is there a large age gap? Are you guys pretty close?
No, we're all, except for my little sister, we're all in our 30s.
I'm with you. So what do you consider yourself career-wise then? Voice acting, stand-up, actual acting in person, things like that. What do you, jack of all trades, what would you say? When someone says, what do you do? What's the answer?
Yeah, it's, I love that question because let me just start by saying I don't like, there's even more that I do, but I don't like to claim anything if I don't do it professionally, if I don't do it to a certain, and that's the hard thing I feel like about that question, because when I tell people, I even feel like I'm BSing myself, but I am an actor, I am a voice actor, I am a comedian, I am a choreographer. Those are all things that I have gotten paid for and paid my bills, with. But, I do musical theater. I am a drummer, but those are things that I don't, I'm not listening, my resume to people. If they ask, I'm sometimes I try to just give, short and sweet of it. I'm just I'm an actor. You go to my website, it says actor, choreographer, comedian, certified fool. Cause that's my brand. I've been trying to find a brand for years and some type of thing that really labels me. And I came across, the name Hilarious Darius and then Certified Fool. Cause I am proud to be a fool, and I stamp that certification on me. That's my thing. So
I like that.
Have you always been this way? Growing up, your personality's just been kind of dynamic, just kind of floating around like that?
I would say I was always, a little, expressive-wise, bigger. I was a very emotional kid. Mm. I didn't really know I wanted to do any of this until probably I was 11 or 12. I grew up a very emotional kid, really sensitive, cried a lot, which means I guess I was expressive. But, that also led me to a path of dealing with toxicity in the world and being oh, boys shouldn't cry. Mm-hmm. So, that's a whole nother thing. But that's been an interesting journey being an actor now and having to confront emotions and where am I at now? How, where was I when I was a kid? And trying to understand all of that through the realm of acting.
Yeah. Emotions, though, they play a big part, right? It's kind of funny because I was on the opposite end of the spectrum of you, of kind of like a bully, I'd say, a little as aggressive as you can be. That's kind of where I was. But it's kind of funny how you have the kid that's crying in class, right? And then you have the kid that would never cry in class, but both of them feel out of place.
No,
Just really weird to kind of, you got to find that balance, right?
And it's with you, I think, because I grew up very emotional. It's okay to show emotions. You can cry, it's not a big deal. But with you, that's not really how you grew up. And then, so I was you're not emotional, but anger is still an emotion. Like, that's still, like, you are still emotional, but on a different, you know, the different side of the spectrum. But then I think now you're kind of finding the other emotions too. And
yeah, it's definitely
helping us out, I think.
And the thing too, that I think one of my biggest breakthroughs was just, especially with you, letting you know, because like, let's say if, I don't know, we see some puppy get hit by a bus or a video of that, like, that is sad.
Yeah.
Clearly it's fucking sad. Right. And then you'll be like, oh my God, that's horrible. And I usually don't say that, like,
quiet.
But I'm kind of like, yeah, obviously it wasn't funny. Like, what do you want me to say? Right. And then, so now maybe if I see that, I have to be intentional and be like, oh yeah, hey, that makes me sad. And then, cause I guess I just have a straight face, and you know, it has to be something like, I gotta see like a baby getting skinned or something to be like, oh my God, like, that is like, to have a gasp or something. So I'm just more conscious with being like, hey, yeah, I know that fucking sucks, like, don't do that.
I face things like that. I've been in a relationship for 6 years now, and my girlfriend, shout out to her, love of my life, she has really helped me open up my emotions and understand my emotions to a different realm. Like, she's created a safe environment for me to just like walk through, and it's just like, hey, take this journey, like, understand your emotions, not just for your acting life, but for you as a human, for you to just like know who you are inside and out. And it's so important to like express those things. Like, I keep it inside too, you know? And so it's so important to have a safe environment when someone's like holding your hand. They're like, hey, you can talk about how you feel. You can express that. Yeah. And it's like uncomfortable, you know, because it's like, oh, I'm not used to doing it. Like, if I pull up a pair of ice skates and I'm like, yo, hop on the ice, and you never hopped on the ice before, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You've never, you know, so, but I'm thankful to have that environment.
Where did you meet your girlfriend?
We met in grad school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were like real close best friends for like a good year. Like, never saw anything. Like, it's so funny. I laugh about it all the time because we never saw, like, this. We would never predict that this would happen. But we ended up shooting a short film. This sounds, like, so fake when I tell people, but it's so true. We ended up shooting a short film at her apartment. Or, no, it was at her house. And, at like, right before that point, we were spending a lot of time together, but still nothing. It wasn't like, wow, I'm spending so much time together. Like,
I love these stories because that's just, I don't relate to them, but yeah, that's really cool. Like, so you just didn't feel anything, huh?
And then that night, like, after filming it, like, that was the first night ever that I stayed at her place, and like, I stayed the night, and we like hung out all night, and I was just like, oh, now I'm feeling it. And like, we had to talk about it in the morning. We were like, I'm feeling you. And then it was just like, oh, we're friends. And then like, we didn't see each other for some days because we had to like, you know, process that. And then we finally sat down and it was like, I don't know what this is, but maybe like we can just like maybe build something to the end of the year, because like it was our senior year of grad school. And we're like, and then we can kind of go about our way you know, very professional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What state was grad school in? Was it in SoCal?
This is when we were in Georgia.
Oh, Georgia. Or, gotcha.
I was in Georgia. But yeah, summer hit, and then we were like, oh. We were like, no.
We're stuck. This ain't.
Yeah, so she's the one that got me to D.C. because she wanted to go to D.C. And I was like, I don't want to leave you. Mm. And fast forward 6 years, we out here now. And she's from here, so that was really nice. A really nice transition to come out here with someone who knew the game out here, who knew how to navigate just the landscape.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's funny how aggressive LA is, just like size-wise. You have, if you just look at all of LA County, we talk about this all the time because it's like, we're beach cities people. Like, that's where I'm at. That's where anything from Manhattan Beach down to Long Beach, I fuck with, right? Burbank, I'll get out there, but I'm just like, that's not, I don't feel like home there, but I need to feel the ocean in order to be like, oh yeah, I'm in Los Angeles, vice versa. If somebody's in Burbank or Culver City or something like that, oftentimes they're like, no, we don't fucking go to the beach. Like, you know what I mean? It's an hour, you got traffic, things like that. So it's just so funny how many pockets of LA that you can explore and get into. And I think that's probably how like appreciative or conscious are you of that? Like, coming from a Philadelphia, is it similar? Is it different? Things like that.
It felt very familiar out here. When we first moved out here, we were in K-Town, very close to downtown, which obviously a lot of buildings, very messy. kind of felt very similar to Philly. Some people would say K-Town is like the Philly of LA.
That's so cool.
which is like pros and cons to that statement. But yeah, that was a little rough, but it also made me feel very much like, oh, this feels familiar. Mm. It's a little chaotic, but you know, and I, back in Philly, back in DC, I use public transportation all the time because it's like, it's good out there. Mm. Not great out here, but I still did it because I'm familiar with that. And it helped as a transition, but now being out in Burbank, it's definitely a change of pace, and I love it.
Mm. You know, the funny thing about like buses and trains too is you love buses and trains because they work perfectly in Sweden.
Yeah.
I love them. They're really cool. I actually don't love them. I don't, if I can never get on a bus or a train, I'm cool. Just,
well, that's because I'll take the bus to like school here and it's not a big deal. Like the bus is right here, like down the street, goes straight to school. Like I have no issue doing that. In downtown LA, I don't know if I would do that by myself. But like, I'm so used to taking the bus, the train, just growing up. I grew up in Sweden. So like, that's all I took. Like I was very rarely in a car unless we were driving far. So I'm just so used to it. So then now I feel very comfortable doing it here, but you keep telling like, don't take the bus. I'll drive you. I'm like,
well, I bought a car too.
I can so you take the bus, but you tell me to take the car. Now I got to pay for parking at school, which is like $20 a day. And that's not happening. That's why I also take the bus. Cause $1.25.
It's all right, cheaper. I get it. I see what you're saying. It's more convenient. But it's just, it's annoying that there's a car that's sitting there. That like,
if you want to drive me everywhere I go, you can do that.
Okay.
I will give that to you. You can do that. That's fine.
All right. Well, we'll earmark that and get back to it later. But it's just, it doesn't make sense. Because I'm the type of guy that like, you know, when you were in high school in Texas, you fucking get your truck. And like, if it breaks down, you fix it
and figure it the fuck out. And I walked to school when I grew up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. My parents never drove me.
I just like the ability here, even when we're in Sweden with like really nice public transportation, I don't like having to get up out of the restaurant 10 minutes before I want to make the train. I don't like that rush. That's my thing to where it's like, I don't want to move and navigate with the world. I want to turn my key and go like, I like to pitter patter around. I want to leave when I want to leave. So it's just one of those things of like, I don't know that bus driver. Like, don't worry about them. They're not waiting for you.
That's the hard part of the public transportation out here. Because LA is so spread out and the whole area is just, you know, California in general, spread out. So that gets very frustrating because what ends up happening is you spend so much time. It's a 10-minute drive or an hour walk or hour bus, whatever. And so that tends to get a little frustrating. Mm. But I'm still trying. Like, if I budget my time, I like to take a long walk. I love walking. Mm. So, yeah. Even if it's like an hour or whatever, I don't care.
Do you work out at all?
Yeah, I like to. I'm like right down the street from a gym. I like to go there. I like to ball there because we have like a court on the roof of the gym.
Oh, that's cool. That's
really nice. That's nice. I feel like post pandemic, I'm still just like, depending on the layout of a gym, I'm just like, I'm not loving it. Like, I don't even know if it, I don't know. I'm like, it's not really like a germ thing or whatever. I'm just like, I'm still just like, oh, crowds. Yeah. Like, I'm still getting used to like that image. And the gym that I go to, the layout is just not good. I used to go to a Planet Fitness, the one downtown. That layout was great. I could leg day at whatever it was. I had space for it. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I also dance. So, you know, when I can get into a dance class, I'll try to walk everywhere. Mm. Try to get something, man.
I think I feel the same thing about the gym. We always just work out outside. Like, we'll be right here working out. I like going to the gym if it's empty, but it's very rarely empty. So now it's like, I don't want to be here. Yeah, like, you have to be there right when they open. But yeah, I don't like the whole, and again, same thing with me. It's not a germ thing. Like, I'm okay with like germs, whatever. But it's just like, I don't want people close to me. I want my own space. And that very rarely happens at the gym. I can't do it.
I'm pretty aggressive in the gym. Like, if you're doing squats, I'll ask you how many. Yeah. You got 3 sets? All right, I'll be back in 3 sets. It's never slowed me down. It could be January 2nd, and I'm still getting the same pace workout that I usually get. So it's kind of funny. But we're outdoor people now. I want to talk about, like, short films, creativity, acting, voice acting, kind of the work that you really like to embark on. What is your creative process? Kind of take me through if you're going to make some sort of like, how long is a short film for you? Like, if you're going to make one today, is it like 10 minutes, 15 minutes? I'm not in that world at all, you know? No, so it's like, we love to hear about things like that.
I would say, it depends on what it is. I mean, It could be like a proof of concept, which is kind of something very short that you can use as like pitching to someone for a longer, you know, project. Yeah, I say like sweet spot. It just really depends. I mean, I guess for me, like sweet spot between like 10 and 15. My girlfriend a year ago shot a pilot that we all worked on, and it's just about to be finished. And it was a comedy called 86, workplace comedy. And I think they landed that between, I think that was 15 and 20, between somewhere in there. And the thing about it is you can take what you shot and like, here's the 12-minute version. Here's an extent. That's why we have those movies, the extended cut, the director's cut, you know, because people cut it longer. But I would say that sweet spot is, yeah, between like 10 and 15, have that beginning, middle, and boom.
And then are you good at just but what's your process for taking on a new character? Like, are you just kind of, you see something and you kind of just use your imagination and you play that? Because if I'm giving you, I don't know, play this like gorilla that's, I don't know, 800 pounds in some sort of like a monkey movie, are you comfortable doing that?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds more like motion capture, which I go to a place to do motion capture classes. I haven't done a lot of it. I've done some motion capture dance. But, yeah, I think I like to look at all of this as, like, acting. Like, sometimes I don't like when, like, people try to separate voice acting from acting or think that it's a different thing or think that it's not acting or whatever. I'm like, they're all actors. Some of the most brilliant actors do voiceover, or I've met in the voiceover community, because people who do on camera come to voiceover and it's a struggle. And vice versa. I'm not trying to say we're like on top, you know, vice versa. It's a struggle when you're, again, that ice skating thing. You know, if you haven't been on the ice, it's going to be a little uncomfortable. So,
And Hannah, it was pretty cool. What Jalen was telling me a couple episodes ago was that you can actually, I just never thought of it. Usually one guy can play like five characters. Versus like if you're just on a regular show, it's like, you know, you get your one character, but five, 10 characters, you can, it's so diverse what you can do. And I was like, oh, I think I'd be a lot more interested in doing that than like some other things. But it's cool. You just look at it all as one thing and it makes sense, you know?
But even then, when I say that, I mean like making sure that you're looking at all of, I try not to go, oh, now I'm doing voiceover, so like I have to do this whole other process. There are a few different things, but a lot of it is the same process. I like to get very physical. I like to know how the character moves. I like to sit and figure out like, what is this character's dreams? What is this character's fears? Like, where is this character now? What just happened? You know, like, and in our realm, we talk about pre-life, and that's about like what just happened. Like a lot of times we do auditions and we have that first line and it's like, I'm going to the store, I'll be back in 5 minutes. But like, what if they just woke up and they got 2 hours of sleep because last night their cat kept them up all night or something? Like, you know, it's like, what is that pre-life, that what just happened?
Right.
Or is it their birthday? And it's like, going to the store, you know, like there's so much, it changes everything when it's like, what just happened? And we can't kind of go on with a blank canvas. We have to like know what is going on with that character. What is their, what are their given circumstances? That's a big thing we talk about in acting. I kind of studied in theater, is like, what are their given circumstances in terms of like age, race, gender, you know, like what are these things that make the whole character, you know?
How are you with accents? Are you good with that?
Accents always scared me. I'd study them in college, and I felt better about them. And I recently took an African dialect class, and I fell in love with it. I fell in love. We studied like different specific dialects, and one of them is my favorite. It's called Igbo, and it is the dialect that the mountain tribe speaks in Black Panther. So like M'Baku, like his tribe speaks that dialect, or uses that dialect. And when I started studying these dialects, it was so interesting to like go back and watch Black Panther, because I studied with a woman who actually did, she was a dialect coach on Black Panther.
Oh, cool.
And when I went back and watched it, I could see them, like, they'd say the same word, but they said it different. And I, like, geeked out. I was like, oh, you know, I think to the untrained eye, we can just go, oh, African dialects. They're, like, just doing African dialect. And it's like, no, like, yo, when you dissect any region, any country, like, you're going to find different languages. There's just a million different ways that, like, depending on where you're born or where you were raised, how you speak, you know?
I got something for you. It's a pet peeve of mine. I want to know what your take is on it. And I know I'm wrong. I don't want to use the word hate, but I strongly dislike it when I fall in love with a character. Let's say it's like a black guy in a movie, like Snowfall, right? And then I see him on Jimmy Kimmel and he's like speaking British. You know what I mean? Like he's from England. And I'm like, dude, he really sounded like he was from just, you know, South Central LA. And I have a big pet peeve with black Brits because they're always coming out here and they're playing like Martin Luther King. And you know what I mean? They're playing the Snowfall guys and they're doing all these like cool Florida accents. And I think I realized the reason why I don't like it is because I kind of feel cheated a little bit. Like I was like, I felt like I knew you. And then now I see you here and the real you isn't that. And I'm like, oh, I guess that is acting though. I can't fault you for that. Cause Samuel Jackson, I see him in something and then you see him in something, you know, like a out on the street or something. It's still Samuel Jackson. Mm-hmm. It's not that big of like a shift. Yeah. What do you think about that? Cause I've been on that for a good year now, a good year. But now I think you just kind of made me awaken what my issue is with it.
Yeah. I know that was like a big thing. Like, I mean, people are still talking about it. It was a big thing when, like, 2 years ago, I believe a movie came out. And I'm blanking on who was in it. But here's my thing with it. The way that they study acting and the culture of performance in the UK is a little different than here. Very different from over here. I mean, there are similarities. I don't want to say they train harder or they whatever, but it's a very rigorous
like they're format. All classically trained.
Yeah, it's a very classical, rigorous form that like I don't know everything, but from what I hear and what I've read, I'm like they're working their ass off.
Yeah,
and so if you work your ass off to the point where you're like, not only am I doing my shit here in the UK, but I'm coming to America and I'm about to like come there and like show y'all that like I'm also working on this American, you know, 2024 dialect and I can smash that and I can come in but still stay grounded with the acting and everything and you don't know. I don't know if y'all know Idris Elba's story with The Wire, but like he was on The Wire and he auditioned, he got called and he went into the audition and he didn't do his dialect. He didn't do it. And I'm trying not to like butcher the story, but I think long story short, like someone ended up being like, hey, are you from the UK? And he was like, yeah. But it was like, nobody knew. And he had done like, I believe like at least a callback or two. And they were like, man, this guy's killing it. And then like one person out of the bunch that execs and whoever were on the other side of the table knew. Cause like, I think they had been in the UK for a long time. They could just hear like a small thing, but like, working to that level, I don't know. I mean, I get it when I'm not at a point where I'm like, damn, I could have had that role, but like, you know, Dimson, it just got it, you know, and I'm like, I'm not at that point. What's going on in my realm, or I shouldn't say my realm, but like what's going on in the voiceover realm, which I guess I say my realm because I work in that more, is in the last few years, just like appropriation of like black people voicing black characters and all races, like, you know, whether if you're Filipino, being able to voice Filipino characters, if you're Vietnamese, being, you know, like trying to take ownership of that again. You know, there was a big kind of revolution that happened in 2020 where like people were dropping characters that they were playing because they're like, I'm white, you know? Yeah. And so I'm we're still on that train, and I just hope that it was not a moment in our history, but like we can keep going with that because I think that starts to dip into a really dangerous realm where, like, there are a lot of, like, old heads who are like, well, wait, back in my day, I got the voice of black guys. And, I, you know, I kind of did them like this. And it's just like, in their mind, I'm like, you don't know, one, cool. Cool that someone gave you that opportunity. One, you don't know how offensive that is. Two, you don't know the fact that there's, like, a black guy, like, that is trying to work and can do that character better and can do it authentically. And doesn't get to work as much because, like, he has to work twice as hard just to get one job. Because it's like, there's shit that we just got to face. If there is, like, a white man at the helm, and I'm not trying to say every white man or whatever, but, like, sometimes just subconsciously, like, we might not get the job just because the way we look. That's just historic. Like, come on now. Like,
yep. And I think piggybacking off the Black Brit thing is I had what I said, but I also am upset that there's not more, like, British roles, too. Because I understand historically, I get it. If I'm a guy, young guy in the UK, if I'm Idris Elba and I'm like, fuck, there's no Superman movie that I could do here in the UK. I got to go over here and play this gangster. Like, you got to do what you got to do. I get it. I'm not mad at him. I'm just mad at the fact where it's like, no, I want to see you do that. And I want to see you do this. Yeah. Like, I want to see it all. That's what I'm upset. I feel like I'm getting cheated a little bit. I should have known. Like, I should see in some other roles that I'm like, oh, here he is doing, you know, his, like, his native style and his flow. And this is how he grew up. And, like, the dude from Star Wars, right? Like, you just see him in Star Wars doing his thing. And then you see him on the interviews and he's British. And I'm like, the fuck? So I see what you're saying, though, with voice acting. It can be really big because you can kind of hide behind that mic more and you don't know, right?
There's a lot that went on. I mean, just from the birth of voiceover till, you know, I guess now, and I feel like even now sometimes people are still just catching themselves and like, oh, wait, should we not do this? I'm like, it's been like 4 years now of like, you know, people trying to do the right thing, you know? So I'm like, can we please keep doing the right thing? If I can shout out something real quick. I'm a part of the cast of Nickelodeon's Monster High. And I just gotta shout that show out because the way that they cast that show and the way that they construct and build these, I can't even get the word. It's like the team of actors that come in to play these characters that are essentially monsters, but essentially also like connected to something very human and in today's world, whether it be someone who is, we have like non-binary characters, we have disabled characters, obviously we have black characters. One of the leads who's a friend of mine, I know she's Taiwanese and they've connected that to her character. And cool. It's just like Monster High 10 years ago, because this is like a generational thing. There's like, we're on a third generation. Monster High years ago was just not what it is today. I'm going to say that, okay? All that stuff I just said was not a part of Monster High 10 years ago. And so I am proud to be a part of a show that just, like, appropriately casts people the right way, the way that we should be cast, you know? And it's beautiful to see that. It's beautiful to see, like, it talked about. And not in a today's very special episode. It's just like, oh, hey, like, hey, I'm this character, my pronouns are they, them. Like, they just say that like it's normal. Like, hey, I'm just introducing myself. It's not like a, again, special episode. And so I love watching the show and seeing these things in this world of the show and just be normalized.
Yeah. How did you get that role in Monster High? Like, what was that process like? Walk me through that.
That was, it was a very normal audition. Like, you know, we kind of get the auditions that just come through our agents.
Hey man, and you got to take me and the listener through an audition too. Like, we're not in this no world. I got you. I've never been it's on funny. An audition.
It's funny because, right? Like, no, I listen to podcasts and they have like these great, I mean, just goats in the industry, and they're like, all right, wow, you play, you know, Bugs Bunny, you play, how did you? And it's just like, a lot of the time, like, we get that audition weeks later, a month later, whatever, they're like, oh, hey, you booked it. And it's like, it's what I'm trying to say is it's like a boring story versus like, I climbed a mountain. At the top, there was a cougar. I put him in a headlock.
Yeah. Like, I said, I must be on Monster High.
Right. But no, I will say that that was one of the few that, like, I'm proud of. I had auditioned for the show at one point, didn't get it, and then I got sent a few other characters. And it was interesting because I remember I got sent like three characters and they were like, choose one. And I was like, cool. I'll choose this guy, Barkamedes. He sounds kind of funny. He sounds like he's like a skater. And I was like, cool, I think I could like connect with this. Like, I didn't know anything beyond that, really. I was just like, sure. Read the script. Read it again. You know, like, just literally, if that script is a lemon, I'm trying to get every little juice I can out of, like, the nuance, right? Mm-hmm. Something I'm proud of about that audition that I'll never forget is, with a lot of auditions, it can be dicey with improv. And what I mean by that is us throwing our own little special sauce on stuff. Like, if the line says, like, oh, no, and if I go, like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, or just, like, something else that's just, like, not on the page. Yeah. I throw my own little, like, thing in it. I totally did that with that audition. Just a few times. You don't want to do it too much, and that's why I can get dicey, because we can step on our own toes and go, like, oh, I got all this funny stuff that I'm a, you know. And now you're not, like, you're kind of, in a way, like, disrespecting the writer who's created this amazing script that you're, like, I'm going to put that to the side. I wrote at something else. And it's, like, now you're not listening. Mm. So you want to sprinkle it, just like you're cooking. Sprinkle that seasoning. Don't do too much, because then it's not good. But I remember at the end of the audition, so the character is a little bit more of like the lackey to the bully. Okay. And he's like comic relief, kind of just like the oblivious guy, which is, like, side note, like my favorite archetype. Like, I want to play that archetype in a sitcom so bad. Mm. So it's amazing that I'm getting like the chance to do it now. But once I read the script and I was like, oh, it didn't say that, but like, I know that archetype. He's the lackey. Therefore, if he oversteps himself with the bully, he's going to have to, he overstepped his boundaries. And there was a line kind of like that. It was like the bully had said something and Barkamedes was like, wait, wouldn't that mean that if we did that, then we did that and that wouldn't work? And he was kind of like trying to like overset, and then I ad-libbed. I was like, oh, you know what? Sorry. I shouldn't do that. Sorry. You know? And it was just like, I really like to believe that little things like that was said that, oh, he gets the character. He knows who this character is. And, I found out through the showrunner that character was only supposed to be like in a few episodes, maybe one or two, just like a one-off character, but now I've done, I lost count.
Oh, wow.
But like the character has been incorporated a little bit more. And yeah, it's been an awesome journey to kind of find the nuances with the character. I've gone back and watched the show and it's awesome. Cause I kind of forget things and I'm like, oh man, that's so funny. And it's super cool to see, prelay animation, which is when you record first and then they animate to your voice. Mm. So it's so cool to see, like, if you make a choice, again, mm-hmm. like, if I choose to make this line, like, a little quieter, you know, to see them, like, animate to that, which means the character might physically come down, you know?
That's cool.
It's super awesome to see the you know, the whole thing come together.
How was it hearing your own voice on, like, when you're watching back the show, you're like, oh, shit, is that me? Like, does it feel weird?
You know, doing theater and on camera first, like, that was weird for me. Mm. A little weird, like, watching it back. The moment I started doing voiceover and being like, all right, let me play that back, it was like, it was super cool to hear, wait, like, I made that sound?
Yeah. What?
Like, I remember geeking out, like, on some of the first things that I was, like, recording on this, like, little, what do they call, like, the Yeti mics? Like, there's just, like, a small USB mic, mm-hmm. like, just recording these things in a closet with a blanket over my head and then like playing it back. And I'm like, oh my God, that sounds like one of the characters on an anime that I've watched. And so along that journey, like hearing myself back, I like geek out about it because it's super cool to hear back the choices that I made and playing with character. To me, every time I hear it, I'm like, I am always surprised that I can like craft that character, you know, craft a character who sounds different from myself. Anytime I can kind of sound different from myself, I always love that, like hearing that. And the character, sometimes I hear myself dip in a little bit, but he's very much like a skater. And it's super cool to like hear when I can really just like distance my own voice and hear something else. Mm. And I'm just like, whoa, like this is really the character.
Yeah.
Fun. I want to hear a little bit more about the industry change because it's really cool. What I'm hearing, at least, and like my understanding is, yeah, you still have the kind of concept where you got to get picked, right? I'm a merit-based guy. Like 1,000%, I'm so far from sometimes like creativity to where I'm logistical-based. I like, hey, the best guy wins. I like the idea of talking about track and field because I go, who's the fastest guy of all time? Usain Bolt. Yeah. Undeniably, yeah. Right? There is no like LeBron or Kobe or Michael or this and that, right? I don't like things getting, it gets a little political, it gets a little weird sometimes, right? But sometimes you do have to play that game, like you're saying, of like, oh, I can't step on this guy's toes, I can't do this, I can't do that, I have to kind of get picked by a showrunner, things like that. Are the people in charge at least talented? Do you see what I'm saying? At least maybe they were in your shoes at one point, yeah, and they've grown to now, like, it is a merit-based thing instead of just some guy being like you're talking about, just this old white guy being like, don't like it. No, that's not how a black guy sounds. Like, that's not how the guy that I heard that cuts my hair does it. Yeah. No, you know what I mean? So
I would say I give it up to all the agents. I give it up to all the showrunners, all the directors, man, because I think what we can forget is that, like, all of these people at one point were interns, getting someone coffee, printing papers, an assistant, you know, to moving up. Now I'm an agent, to like, now I'm the head of the agency, to now I left that agency and I started my own agency. It's like, they've all seen so many things, and whether they weren't an actor or not, they've been damn near close to being in our shoes. So, I try to separate the whole, like, separate myself from the anxiety of like being picked or like I didn't get the job or this or that. I really have to like tell myself and just remember that, one, these directors don't hate us. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like a lot of times they're just like, they just don't like my work. They just, like, they don't hate us.
Like, it's not personal. It's not
it's
you.
It's just that, like, literally, like, sometimes you see the project come out and you're like, oh, they ended up going to get a celebrity. That had nothing to do with me. That had to do with the business side of that celebrity is going to make the project more money.
Right.
And it's going to be, you know, like, that has nothing to do with me. Or you just don't remember, like, you just got to tell yourself, like, how many people are auditioning, or ask yourself, how many people are auditioning for this? Mm-hmm. Right. I'm one in the 300. And it's just like that one person did something different or whatever, whatever. Like, I always try to say, stop looking at that and look at what's on your plate. Celebrate your wins. You know, the fact that, like, if this is the only character I get the voice on a Nickelodeon show, I'm like, I'm happy and I'm running with that and I'm taking that and I'm celebrating that. Because, like, 8-year-old Darius would freak out if I was like, one day you're going to voice a character on Nickelodeon. And I get to voice a character that's not, like, a lot of voiceover work tends to be our natural voice, which is cool because it's like, cool, we're focusing on the acting. And we're always going to focus on the acting, even if it's not our natural voice, but to play a character that's a little bit more heightened is just so much fun. Mm. So much fun.
That's really awesome. And I think maybe like the ice skating analogy, if somebody came and knocked on my door right now with this weather and was like, you want to buy some ice skates? I'm like, no, I'm good. Right. But if they had some roller skates, I might be like, you know, I could go roller skate down the thing right now. So sometimes it's often maybe about timing too, a little bit of like, I bet if you were in Minnesota right now where it's 0 degrees out, you could probably get some ice skates, you know, help some people get set up with what they need, right?
That's a huge thing. I'm going to steal a quote from the great Candy Milo, who's a veteran voice actor. She's been on tons of stuff from Looney Tunes things to Cartoon Network, Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, Jimmy Neutron. She's been on tons of stuff. I love her. She talked about this concept of the Jolly Rancher, and when a director digs his hand into a bag and it's just like, oh, red Jolly Rancher, you know, that's not the one I wanted. Green, that's not, oh, the great one. Oh, that's the one I wanted. Like, that's the thing I was looking for. I didn't know I was looking for. I taste that one. I was like, oh, that's what's right for me right now. So timing, yeah, no, you're totally right that it isn't. If I'm a blue Jolly Rancher, like, someone's going to want that blue Jolly Rancher at some point, but they're not going to want it all the time. And it's like, and just be okay with that. Just, we always try to say, like, set it and forget it. Like, one of the best things I learned is, like, do an audition, If you do have time, go back to the audition. If you have time and you don't have to send it in, go back to the audition. Maybe listen to it. Maybe rework some things. Send it in, and then make sure you have something to do right after. Mm-hmm. Oh, laundry. Oh, I'm going to go see my friend. Oh, I'm going to go work out. Like, have some. If you just sit there, it's going to. You're like, no, I could have did this. I could have did that. No, and so just have something to do, because some days it's just, you know, like your run-of-the-mill commercial, which, hey, is exciting. Great, cool. And then other days it's like, oh, this is the sequel to the next big Disney Star Wars thing. And it's just like, that is going to be on your mind to know, like, I could potentially, it'll wreck your mind, because you want it. We all want it. So.
Do you have, like, any decision fatigue kind of similar to that inside your life? Because that's really valuable just for the listener outside of voice acting of how many times have you, you know, made a decision or bought something, and sometimes you have buyer's remorse of like, oh shit, I could have got the red one. I could have got this. I could have got that, right? I think I'm very good at just when a decision is made, we're off to the next. Done. I don't even give a fuck. I forget I made the decision, right? And it's like over, move to the next thing. Do you ever struggle with that, or have you gotten better at, you know, that's your process. You take that throughout everything, right?
Yeah, I've definitely gotten better with it. I'll never forget, like, my first audition. Like, literally, I moved here in a few weeks. I signed with my agent, and then, like, I woke up the next morning with, like, a Cartoon Network DC audition.
Cool.
And I was like, what do I do? And I remember I went to go hike with my boy, and I was talking to him about it. And then I went home after, and I just was in my studio, my booth, for, like, 3 hours banging my head against the wall.
Really?
Like, I didn't know. And the excitement and the pressure just took over. And I was just like, take one. Ah, nope, that's not it. Take two. Take 50. Take, you know, I was like trying. I was not acting at all. I was trying to create a sound, because in my mind I was like, oh, the directors probably want it to sound like this. No. Like, most of the time, they're like, I have a general idea, but I don't know. And then someone comes in and it's just like one of my favorite stories is the show American Dad. Like, the fish on American Dad is played by the incredible Dee Bradley Baker. And the fish was originally supposed to be Francois the fish. Cut to, the fish is actually not as Klaus the fish, because Dee Bradley Baker came into the audition. Everyone was doing, you know, auditioning for Francois. They're doing their best French. He came in. He was like, I don't do French. I can, but it's not going to be as great as all these other people. However, I studied in Germany. I studied German in school. I can give you German jokes. I can. And literally did that in the audition. They were like, wait, that's funnier. And we just been hearing all this kind of French stuff. That's hilarious. We'll take it. Wow. And it's like, they didn't know that's what they wanted. So it's like, allow yourself to step back and just be like, I'm going to give them me. And that has been like some of the best advice that I take with me into auditions, is just like letting go of like what I think they want and just being like, you know what? I'm just going to do it like this.
I'm going to
make this character, like, I'm going to make them incredibly nervous about this date they're going on. It doesn't say that they're nervous. I'm going to make that choice.
That's so valuable just in life too. Oftentimes, I think most of nervousness is when you're trying to do a version of something that you're either trying to replicate, copy somebody else that did it, right? Or it's almost like if I'm in a meeting, right, with some guy, let's say he owns like a taco restaurant or something, and I'm trying to be my mentor, Adam, right? Adam's going to do it a completely different way. He's got, you know, 20, 30 years of experience. He's really talented at what he does. But the way I do things, I can't sit here and try to use his like jokes or the way he explains certain financial concepts, because I don't understand them the same way he understands them. I may use a football analogy, right? Whereas he may go like, oh, we're going to use a track analogy or a basketball analogy. At the end of the day, we're getting to the same place. But I get, my nervousness always like dissipates when I go, oh no, just be yourself, man. Because it worked last time. It worked the time before that. It worked last month. Guess what? Do the thing that you were doing that got you to this position right here. And don't try to fucking get fancy. Don't try to do anything like that, right? So it's so nice that's what you're saying.
It's all that cliche stuff that we hear growing up that we think is like, we think cliche is bad or wrong or outdone. But it's like, we hear that because it's said so much, because people need to hear it, because it's the truth. Like, really, like, it sounds, some of the most cliche stuff too is actually some of the hardest stuff to do. Mm-hmm. Like, just be yourself. Like, what does that even mean? That's hard. That's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
That was hard for you guys?
Especially,
yeah.
Actually, not really for me. That's a whole other thing.
Not like, for
that's
me
a
either.
That's a rabbit hole for me, because I'm like, I grew up feeling very comfortable to be myself, which kind of alienated me from other groups, because it was just like, oh, I was the black guy that was comfortable being like being a nerd, but like doing musical theater, but like hanging out with girls because they were my friends, and it was all these things that like made people really like take a step back from me, because they're like, what's your deal? You're not following the stereotypes, right, bro.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I'm comfortable being me. None of us are. I'm like, none of us are stereotypes.
Mm.
But it's more comfortable to walk that straight path down the street versus like, I'm gonna go here, I'm gonna go here, I'm gonna go up here, I'm gonna go down here, now I'm gonna go down here.
Mm.
Like, but I think for the majority of people, it is hard to just like be yourself, because you're surrounded. I just think about school, like, and you're surrounded by people who like you, acceptance, you want to be accepted, you know? And it's like that desire to be accepted will take you down the path of just being like, you're like, I'm playing basketball now. I don't even like sports. Why am I playing basketball? Why? To like, you know, dangerous stuff. Like, you could, you know, I had friends who just start smoking. I'm like, bro, you're not even interested. They're like, yeah, but you know, Mikey is cool and he smokes, and you know, I'm kind of friends with him. And it's like, that's not.
Yeah.
And I love the root of what you just said right there, was you want to be accepted. You can't control whether you're accepted or not.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't control whether, you know, you get picked for that role or that team or that thing. But what you can control is, hey, did I give my best effort?
Mm.
And if it doesn't work out, right, then you can really be like, fuck it then. Like, it just kind of wasn't meant to be. Maybe I'll get it on the next one. Yeah. Right. So
I think for me, with the whole like being yourself thing, has been harder for me over the past few years. Maybe not necessarily when I grew up. I think, but now when I see myself changing, and I'm a little bit more different from the other people that I used to surround myself with, or I'm still surrounding myself with, that's where I'm like, oh, it's a little hard, because they're doing something, or they have this certain belief, but I'm on the other side, or I have a different type of belief, whatever it is. Now it's hard for me to be like, oh, like, I can't, maybe I don't want to say everything, or I don't want to give this comment out, or I don't want to do this, or like, that's harder for me now than it was when I was younger. Because when I was younger, it was like, all right, like, we're all doing the same thing. Like, I didn't think too deep about, like, what do I believe in? Or what do I, you know? Now it's more like, okay, what do I value? How do I like having my day? When do I want to wake up? Like, all those things that I now control, it's so different from a lot of the other people that, like even my family. Like, certain things that I'm like, oh, it's a little hard. And also now that I'm actually trying to make an effort and, like, live your life for yourself, like, believe in yourself, like, that whole thing too, all of that plays, like, it all just gets bunched up together, that it's a little hard, but believe in yourself, people.
It's like, as we grow up, we start to, like, adopt different morals, and it's like, as we grow up, it's just like, oh, I thought we were friends, and we both like this same thing, and whatever, and you start to learn that, like, people believe in different things, or people want to walk down a different path, and learning to be okay with the fact that it's like, yo, we were friends for like 18 years, and like, how come we're not? Whatever, like, that's hard, but it's like, yo, people start to go down different paths that are like, you know, not necessarily the same path that you're going down to, or like, you know, especially that point of like at the end of high school, you know what I mean? Because it's like, we don't really know what we want to do or be. We have an idea. But, you know, it's like, I was very gung-ho about, like, just progressing in my future and wanting to be something. That was, like, my big thing. I was like, I don't know what, but I want to, like, be something and tackle the thing and do the thing. And I had friends who were just like, you know, I'm a figure, you know. And I was like, at the time, it was hard. Mm-hmm. Now I understand. It's like, hey, we had different morals. We didn't all have to, like, if people needed a break at the school, take a break, whatever you need. Or if you're going to go into a trade, all that is okay. At the time, we don't really realize it. We don't know. And it's just like, wait, I thought we were friends. And it's like, hey, we're adults now, and now we need different things. And I might not need you in my life anymore. Like, that's hard pill to swallow. But it's just like, we grow up and we need different things.
And we drift apart. Like, it doesn't have to be this, like, oh, we're not friends anymore. Oh, what happened? Like, nothing really happened. We just wanted different things. We grew apart. This person wanted to live here. I lived here.
Yeah.
They wanted to not do anything with their life. I wanted to do a bunch of things in my life. It doesn't have to be this major fight or like, yeah, oh my God, we fought each other every day. It's like, we just want different things. I wish the best for that person, but we just wanted different things. That's it.
I think it's really cool too with like the work that I do, and I get to see behind the curtain on like people's individual kind of households, and you get to see how like, it was so eye-opening for me to be like, oh, not everybody wants to be a multimillionaire. Some people are just like, hey, if I could just make it to my kid's soccer game, get bills paid, maybe go on a couple vacations, and like, I would be the happiest fucking person ever. And I go like, oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. I love that, right? Because at the end of the day, what am I trying to do? Okay, we buy a castle in Sweden or whatever, let's say one day when we get there, it's like, yeah, I was trying to be happy. I still want the same dinner that you're trying to have. It's just one of those things of like, whatever the route is to get you, yeah, to make you happy, that's kind of what it is, right?
Bro, that's huge, man. Like, I can't even, that light bulb just like exploded in my mind. Cause I'm like, that was a huge concept that I had to like understand and be okay with, because happiness is a spectrum. And I used to just think that happiness was this thing, like how I saw happiness. I'm like, yeah, we all see it like that. We all want to strive and be the best that we can be and all this stuff. And it was just like I remember thinking about farmers, right? And I used to just be like, at a young age, I was thinking about the lifestyle. And I was like, how could they desire that life? I was like, it's so, like, some people are just like lack of technology and they don't have a lot, and it's and they're not around people. I'm like, man, to me it's so boring. As an adult,
the dream life.
I get that lifestyle so much, man. I'm like, yo, them farmers know what the deal is.
Get me some pigs, get me some cows.
And like, just decompressing from society and being able to have space and being able to let go. And it's like, I'm like, there's so much, like manual labor, like, how that just like helps you decompress and open your mind up and like relieve stress and just like, I don't know, there's something beautiful just about, there's some, I mean, literally it's like the idea of cleaning. Like, I was like around my apartment the other day cleaning, and I was like that's the, I woke up and started cleaning and I was like, this is like so relieving right now. And I was just like, man, like, I get that lifestyle. But to your point, like, I think it's very important to know like, what is your happiness? I mean, being surrounded by, I mean, just the entertainment industry out here, I have to constantly remind myself it's not about money. It's nice when you do, you know, you get a good job and they're like, hey, we're also going to pay you. And you're like, wow, awesome. I get to have fun and I get paid. But I have to remember, like, it's not about the money. But then I also have to remember, like, I'm in America. Like, I have to spend money to get stuff. So,
well, that's the thing, too. There's so many people that are like, well, money's not everything and it's not about money, I don't care about money. At the end of the day, you have to pay rent, you have to live, you have to probably have a car. Like, you can't say money doesn't matter, because it does matter. Like, you need money. Now, is that your number one driving force? It does not have to be at all. But that's like, to say that money doesn't matter, or like, oh yeah, I don't, you know, I don't care about money, you have to do, if you, because if you don't care about money, that's fucking ridiculous. So you have to pay, you know, you come on now. But like, I think, I mean, people in my kind of circle, they have been very like, oh, well, you're so money focused, or you just want money, or like, people just want money, it's greedy, this and that. I'm like, well, it's not that, but like, I love traveling, so I need money for that.
So then you have a different mindset. You have to budget in a different way versus someone who's like, oh, I'm not worried about my money.
Right.
Like, because they're not maybe doing a lot with it, which is fine.
Yeah.
But it's like, to someone who is like, I constantly got to look at my money and see how that flow is going, because like, I need to do this for my life, for my happiness. Then again, you have a different, you have a different track, a different road that you're going down. And again, that person has to step back and go like, ah, that's her morals, like, not my morals. So like, I think it's hard for all of us to kind of take a step back and go like, I do it this way. Why don't you know? That was like a big thing in like my own relationship, and like really realizing that that like what we need at the end of the day sometimes can like might be different, or like, or if we have a problem, how we problem solve. Like, oh, I'll do this, and it's, you know, and I don't know, my girlfriend might do something else, and just like one learning to be okay with that, but you know,
I mean, communication too. Like ours, huge. Our communication is, it's gotten so, it's really good. I would have to say it's really good now. Mm-hmm. But that's something you work on. Like yep. in the beginning, no, it was not the greatest, you know, but now it's like, I learn how you need to get, you know, be talked to and get guided. You learn how I need to get guided. And that's how you learn. And you, the way I learn or the way that, you know, you need to talk to me is not the same way that I need to talk to you. And that's a big
literally
thing.
Literally word by word, what I experienced and I've gone through. And at the end of the day, what I love is that you start to create your own literal language with your partner. And like my girlfriend and I like have that language and I love it.
With him, it's like, I need to tell him, get me the water. He needs to ask me, can I get the water? Like, I don't throw orders at me, but if I ask him a question, can you get me the water? He'll say no. Cause he's like, well, you gave me an option to say no, but if I really want that water, I have to tell him, get me the water.
It's one of those things, like, if I get a text from Darius, it's like, hey, man, can you come help me move this couch? I'm going to be like, no. But if he's like, hey, I'm stuck, you know what I mean? I got to get this thing. This is what's going on. I'm like, oh, shit, hey, I'm in the car. You know, here I come. But, like, that's just, it's funny, because if it's a question, I'm going to give you what I want to do, and then we're going to figure out what it is. But, yeah, like, most likely, I'm going to help you move that couch, obviously. It's just, like, how we get there is funny. Dude, as we're kind of landing this plane, we appreciate you coming out. Yeah. And like, we had a blast with you learning about, you know, what is it you're doing, where you're going. We got maybe two or three questions that we love to ask kind of every guest as we close it out. Are you proud of how far you've come? Are you really good at sort of like reflecting on that and being positive on sort of the route that you're going? Because I know oftentimes we have so many people from so many different industries. Like, we had a plastic surgeon on yesterday. We had like a boutique owner on. And oftentimes this dude is so fixated on opening people's face and, you know, chest and things like that, that, you know, it's good to, when we tell people like, hey, bro, you're really killing it. You're doing a good job. Like, please keep doing what you're doing. It really helps the community. And like, same thing with what you're doing. It's going to pop if it hasn't already popped. You know what I mean? Like, just stay that route. And are you good at sort of reflecting and being like, fuck, man, 5 years ago, I was here and now I'm here. I'm exactly where I want to be, you know?
Man, I feel like I'm really bad at that. I feel like I'm bad at like, I have a beautifully amazing community around me of voice actor friends, actor friends, like, and they just all like gas me up and they just celebrate me and they're like, oh, you're killing. And it's like, even in that moment, it's so hard to just like take, like, my mind wants to like transcribe it as like, hey, good job on your, I don't even know. My mind just tries to transcribe it to something else that doesn't even make sense. That's why I couldn't even get a sentence out. I'm like, it wants to not really like take that compliment. And I don't really, I don't know why. I mean, I feel like it stems from like growing up and like, I feel like that wasn't really something that like I grew up with, like celebrating, doing good jobs at things that were outside of, you know, like a birthday celebration or whatever. Once again, I have to give it up to my girlfriend. She's like one of the first people in my life ever to really create this environment where it's like we're celebrating.
It's amazing.
She helps me really sit and she's like, do you understand like where you are? Like I'm a very humble and modest person, but like, and I know I didn't say this before, but you know, for anyone that's listening, like I technically am like living a dream job right now. I do promos for Nickelodeon. So it's like when you like turn on the TV and you hear up next, this show, 7 p.m. coming on tonight, that's this you. Thing. I've been working for Nickelodeon for like the last 5 to 6 months doing different promos on different shows. And it sounds like that wouldn't be a dream job. It's like, oh, wouldn't it be a cartoon? Which, yes, that is. But there's something about like, you know, as my girlfriend always tells people, she's like, he's the voice of Nickelodeon. Which there are a bunch of people that like do. Like there are younger shows. There might be a show that like is more extreme or what, I don't, just different shows that need different tones, right? So like I am not the guy because there shouldn't be one person. We should get a team of people that can create a bunch of different tones. I do a lot of very energetic stuff for shows like the Really Loud House, Young Dylan, That Girl Lele, and it's been also, I did some stuff for Good Burger too.
Oh, that's awesome.
that is a dream job. And mm-hmm. so I'll say it's still even hard to take a step back and be like, whoa. But I've done it, and it's still like hard to fathom. Mm-hmm. But again, my girlfriend helps me really create an environment where it's like, you got to realize, like, again, once again, 8-year-old Darius is like freaking out, and she always like tells me how proud of, you know, how you know, like that I make her proud. And
what's her name?
Mary.
Shout out to Mary.
Hopefully she's listened this far. All right. We didn't lose her after 5 minutes. All right.
Should have started with the shout out.
Yeah, exactly. I think as I kind of close out and I like to reflect, I sometimes think about just like 5 years ago being in college, right? And I was fucking worst student ever. Like I was just so unhappy, just so pissed off, right? And I was like, don't worry, once I get out here, like, not that I'm gonna show anybody, because I didn't really care about anybody's opinion, but I was gonna show myself. I was like, I'm gonna get this really cool spot down by the beach. I didn't know it was gonna be here, but just like, I'm gonna get something down by the beach. We're gonna get a dog, right? We're gonna start building things. I'm gonna get into this industry that I've been trying to get into since I was like a kid, right? Now I'm doing all those things. And it's hard because I'm like, well, now we got to travel. Now I want to go to like Thailand. I want to go to Bali. I want to do this. But so you know what I mean? Like the numbers, things start to get a little bigger and bigger. But I oftentimes have to just be like, wait, no, I'm exactly where I tried. Like I'm on the goal. Like I'm on that vein. The vein maybe starts to cross and goes backwards and forwards or whatever. But I'm at least wrestling that tiger that I picked. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's the biggest thing is wrestle. I just came up with that. Like wrestle that fucking tiger that you picked, you know, because you're going to wrestle something. It doesn't matter what it's gonna be. There is no easy slide down and nice. Like, find that fucking tiger and just try to make that tiger your bitch, I guess. You know?
Very similar mindset, man. I'm very similar. It's like that's why it's hard for me, going back to that last question just for a second. That's why it's hard for me to like celebrate and be proud, because I'm always like, great, that happened. That's dope. What's the next thing? Mm-hmm. I'm always like climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing.
It takes
like
practice too.
Yeah. Like I got, you know, I capped the end of the year with doing a lot of those Nickelodeon promos. You know, thankfully they brought me back for some new stuff. But even then, I was like, I reached that goal and I was like, cool, that's great. Now I'm about to do all this like improv stuff. Like, so I'm like taking a lot of classes at UCB, Upright Citizens Brigade. And I'm doing a bunch of stuff there. And they have like instructors that work there that do classes on their own. And I'm taking some of those. And then I'm also like, hey, I still got more time. Let me go audition for this musical. So now I'm in like the production. I'm in a production of Into the Woods right now. And again, like that's my mindset, which is like a double-edged sword, because I'm always just like, good, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? And I'm very guilty of filling my schedule and being like, oh, I can't do everything at once. I'm trying not to do too much. Right now, this is like, I'm capped and it's fine. It's fine. I can like navigate all of this. But I'm very guilty of like doing too much, and it's like just stop and like be proud and go get a sliced pizza.
Yeah, that's there awesome, you go. Man. Get some frozen yogurt.
Well, frozen yogurt. I got to get you frozen yogurt.
I was thinking about that yesterday. Too. I was like, well, that sounds good.
I'll get you some after my yogurt meeting. Yogurt land. I got two more meetings, and then we'll go do that. All right, I promise. Hey, man, we barely scratched the surface. I hope you had a good time. I hope that we can come back. I want to hear all about stuff. I saw, you know, some stand-up clips. I saw all sorts of stuff, dude. That's a whole world that, like, we'll get into on the next episode.
Yeah, man, we got to have some people come through and do a whole anime thing, man.
There you go.
I definitely talk about.
Yeah. And the last thing we leave every, you know, guest that we have on to help the show grow and get really creative minds, you know, successful people, people who are on that vein that I'm talking about of wrestling that tiger that they want to do, who are maybe like 2 to 3 people that you could think of that you could shout out that maybe we could reach out to and see if we can get them in the same couch that you're on. Anybody that comes to mind, it could be a business owner, it could be, you know, a guy, a girl, it doesn't matter who it is, but it really helps us get people in versus me trying to reach out like cold and be like, yo, I do this thing. It kind of works out. It's kind of good, right? If we were able to get something like, hey, Darius said that this was dope. You know what I mean? It's usually way faster.
Yeah, there's like one person that comes to mind. One, because they're just like an incredible human being to begin with. But two, because I believe he lives out in Long Beach.
Oh, here. That's perfect.
And that's my brother, Jun Yoon, and he's amazing, voice actor, actor. Sometimes we call him the voiceover dad because he's older than a lot of us, and he's very, very, very wise and very, very, he's got a lot of experience, and he's a part of definitely helping me progress and seeing his work like is so inspiring. He does a lot of anime, a lot of live action dubs, and he teaches.
Cool.
So that would be like the one
person. That'd be an awesome. Yeah. If you think about anybody else, man, later send them our way. And yeah, we appreciate you having coming on and giving us some of your time. All right.
Of course.
This has been Natural Thoughts and Talks. Hope you guys had a great episode. I know we did. We'll catch you guys later. Bye.
Bye.